This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in a series of my interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on politics and government for the Chicago Reader, and who's here with me today. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Dave.
Nice tie.
Thank you. I wore a tie for this show.
Yeah, I saw that. Today we're talking about the article you wrote for The Reader that appeared on June 2nd, 2011. In the print version, it's titled "The Publicly Funded Charter School That Says It's Not Really Public." And online, it's titled "Charter School Fights Teacher Organizing and Public School Label." This article is about a school called Chicago Math and Science Academy, which is a charter school, and its attempt to keep teachers from unionizing by claiming state union laws don't apply to it because it's not really a public school. First off, how do kids get into charters versus neighborhood schools? You wrote that the former requires an application, but in the neighborhood school case, no paperwork's required. Kids just show up.
Yeah, well, it's probably been a long time since either one of us was in a school as a student, so we don't remember how it worked for us.
I didn't go to a public school.
The way it works, if you're just following the path, you're told at the end of eighth grade what school you're going to, and that's based on where you live. So you just do what you're told in school as in life. So, you know, you start in kindergarten and then they tell you, well, you're going to go to this first grade classroom next year with this teacher, et cetera, until after eighth grade. They tell you, well, you, because of where you live, will be enrolling at Lakeview High School, Calumet High School, whatever.
So it literally is no paperwork.
For you, there's paperwork for the system.
Right. You don't have to fill out anything.
You follow the directions. You go where you're told. Increasingly, there's also a second tract, if you will, where parents and their children, but it's the parents who literally do it, fill out forms asking for admission into selective enrollment schools, magnet schools, charter schools. These are all schools that are free to take kids from anywhere in the city. And generally, there's more applicants than slots, so enrollment is determined by a lottery.
Another thing you write about is the state's jurisdiction with regard to teachers organizing unions. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the jurisdiction of a body called the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board. In the case of this school, the Chicago Math and Science Academy, which we'll call CMSA, the teachers did conform to state law and got half of the staff.
More than half.
They were required to get half minimum to agree to the union. But what I'm inferring from your article is that the board did not enforce the law. It didn't make the school recognize the union.
No, because they immediately applied. The school itself applied to the National Labor Relations Board asking them to take jurisdiction of the whole unionizing matter on the grounds that they are not a public school, which would have to abide by the dictates of the Illinois Education Labor Relations Board, an entity, by the way, I never even heard of until I did this story. But as a private school would be under the jurisdiction of the National Labor Relations Board. And so if the National Labor Relations Board, which is a body appointed by the president, I believe, don't quote me on that.
Too late.
Oh, my God. If they concur, then they oversee the process. And then it just gets dragged on. You have to do another petitioning of the teachers. So just in a sense, it's a way of dragging out the whole process.
And I want to come back to that. But in this particular case, the Illinois board stepped back once the school made the filing with the National
yes.
Labor Relations Board?
In other
board.
Words, the matter was frozen until the issue of who has jurisdiction was resolved. So by merely filing an appeal to the National Labor Relations Board, the school effectively stopped the unionization process. Had they just simply followed procedure and gone to the state board, there probably be a recognized union body at the school with a contract at this moment.
And in fact, as you write, the National Labor Relations Board did rule in favor of the teachers and say that, yes, they are a CPS entity. And as you wrote in the article, the school administration has appealed that decision.
Yeah.
If the National Labor Relations Board under appeal rules in favor of the CMSA administration, as you were saying earlier, the CMSA teachers will have to essentially take another vote
yes.
to unionize.
Yes.
But this time under federal rather than state union organizing rules.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for union organizing? Is it worse for union organizing? Or does it make no difference the fact that this will establish a precedent that charter school union organizing is under federal jurisdiction as opposed to state?
That's a tough question to answer because the National Labor Relations Board sort of varies according to whoever is currently the president. So right now, I suppose we have a Democrat. He'd be a little more sympathetic to unions in general.
But all things being equal,
there probably in the long term would be no significant difference between going to the national level or the state level. The reality is that the rules are governed by the state process. And so this is just an attempt, that's how I view it as well, to forestall this unionizing effort at this one particular school. Your point is well taken. And in the long term, it may not matter if you go to the National or Illinois Board. I'd say it would matter if you had a anti-union Republican administration, and then it would definitely matter. I think that there's a precedent set in Illinois, which is in general is a much favorable to union state, even if a Republican is governor. Well, that wouldn't have been the case if the last Republican had been elected, as we've discussed many times.
Right.
So I asked the same question you're asking, and the reality is that it really probably wouldn't matter in the long scheme of things, but this is really an attempt to forestall one specific union effort at one particular school.
So the school and the teachers are waiting on the appeal. Any new developments since you wrote the article?
Not that I've heard of. I've not talked to anybody in a while about... Wait, that could be a call.
There they are now.
Right now. I found this story particularly compelling because one of the things that charter school advocates have told me is that they have no objection to their teachers forming a union if they want to. And yet, here's a case where, of course, they're going to fight like hell to keep a union out.
I'm sure we'll be following up on this one once the appeal comes down. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
And you can take the tie off now. This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.